From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, dude.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome to this week's Beers with the Brewers down here in the Land Grant Tap Room. We got kicked out of the Kickstarter room. We've got an event in there, so got a little late start, and it's all good. I'm Mark Richards.
Everyone at home knows that we're recording 15 minutes late.
Yeah, I guess nobody knows. But hey, Chris Helderman.
Hello.
And Adam Benner.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys. Anybody do anything fun for New Year? I sure did.
I partied down here at the Land Grant Brewing Company New Year's Eve extravaganza. Yeah, that's fun.
Chris, what about you?
I laid on my couch just like I wanted to and listened to my daughter cry every now and then. It was a good day.
It's a happy New Year.
It's not bad. Spent time with family. Adam, I saw you in your casual tux at the...
Casual tux. I thought I was spending the night on the couch, and then Lauren had a little too much fun checking people in, so made me come down here, which is fine, but I did get to catch the amazingly terrible NBC Night of New Year's.
Oh, yeah.
And it's rough.
All the talk on the internet now. It was hilarious.
Yeah, this show's always seemed to, like, be just disasters of
lame-a-rama
execution.
Yeah,
it's like a couple years ago when we turned off the Ohio State Clemson game and just caught the Mariah Carey performance.
Oh, yeah,
that
was amazing.
Meltdown, yeah.
Saw it live. We're like, did that actually happen?
Yeah, you got to go to Twitter to confirm what you're seeing is real.
I had Twitter for like 2 months, and the first thing I did was, oh my gosh, this is going to be on Twitter. And I went and looked at it, and I was like, yes, this is a
That's like the
meltdown.
One thing Twitter's good for. Is
did someone else catch that?
Watching TV with strangers.
The live. What about you, Mark? I saw you down here for
down
a bit.
At the Blue Jackets. I went to the Blue Jackets game. It was a great game, great win, and then fireworks in the arena afterwards. It was inhalation of 4,000 cap gun caps.
Yeah, was it loud?
It was pretty cool, actually. It was mostly like pyrotechnic stuff, some flame pods. There were
flame pods.
Sparks shooting out of the scoreboard and bottle rocket
flame
type
pods
things
is how
going
some
around.
People describe this podcast because
we're on fire.
We're just on fire.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, and then I came down to Land Grant to finish out the night. A little disco dancing, which was awesome.
Yeah, did you have fun?
Yeah, toasted midnight and then rushed home to see Joan in 2019.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
She was living in the future by the time I saw her.
How about that? Yeah, and then yesterday, big Buckeye win to finish out Urban Meyer's career.
It started to be a big Buckeye win, then it just ended up being a Buckeye win.
They wanted to make it interesting. They didn't want you to tune out.
That's what they did. They laid back a little bit.
It's just
that classic. You're up 28-0 or 28-3, and it's just like, well... We got this thing.
I mean, it was kind of like...
kind of lose interest.
It was like the Falcons a couple years ago in the Super Bowl, except they forgot to not let the Patriots win.
Yeah.
So you're saying they didn't want to rub it
but
in.
But it was 28-3. Yeah, it was similar.
Let's talk about Urban Meyer real quick. We appreciate you.
Yeah, good job, Coach.
Good job.
One last thing I'll say about the Rose Bowl, and I did get a text from one of my friends. One of the worst investments you can probably make is put a swimming pool at your house, so... I was questioning Northwest Mutual's commercial.
He's mowing the lawn.
Jessica was yelling, Dada!
Yeah, his daughter wants to go over to her friend's house, so he says, that's it, I'm building a pool. Yeah. No one's ever leaving the house.
and that's their definition of financial planning. So,
yeah.
Love it.
So, not a sponsor of the podcast. Might not ever be.
Probably won't be at this point either.
So this week's show is about Quadra Hopic IPA. This is a new
year-round... Wait, didn't we do Quadra Hopic before, Mark?
Yes, we had a test run on it, and now we are exploiting the Quadra Hopic. So it's four hops. It's going to be four different hops every quarter this year, so it'll be a rotating hoppy showcase.
Four times the fun.
Four times the fun. So this quarter, the winter Quadra Hopic, it's real grapefruit forward. So grapefruit, citrus, dry and clean. Real clean finish on this. Bitterness. Very slight and just gone as fast as it's there. Pairing with this, We got classic flank steak tacos. Ooh. Sounds good enough.
I like to hear
right?
that. I've actually got some flank steak in the fridge at home. Boom, tacos.
You already got it marinated?
I was going to make it Friday, but now I might make it
I could
tacos.
Give you the classic Benner flank steak recipe.
Yeah, please
that.
Do.
Mm. Well, hey, for you vegetarians out there, just leave the steak off.
Just have blank tacos.
Just a tortilla.
Yeah.
With some hot sauce.
You can have cheese, too, if you wanted.
Diced onion and cilantro.
Green chicken chili with tomatillos. That sounds good. Chris,
so instead
of
a tomato
recipes?
Base, you got a tomatillo base.
That's nice.
Yeah. Green chili. Delicious.
Let's all not forget that, and we've got kind of a big deal next week. Speaking of upcoming events, I don't see it on the list. But next week is the Deep Search podcast with Chili Cook-Off. So,
oh yeah,
all of these chilies that we've been talking about.
We got to ring the dinner bell for that one. Remind everyone
portion will be made.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my instant pot ready.
I'm going to bring my slow pot
full
of chili. The old style.
It's going to take a long time, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah, it could take all day. We got all day for it to cook.
Mark's going to bring it in tomorrow.
Let's get them crock pots down here. Let's get that Deep Search chili cook-off.
Deep Search chili cook-off next week. Yeah.
And are we going to do that? We're doing that Wednesday for the podcast?
For the podcast. We might have some lunch, you know, mid-afternoon, and then we should have it available and be able to talk to those chilies, and we probably should vote for them.
You know, I made a good chili with the beard crumbs, so maybe just substitute.
Yeah, and if anyone listening at home wants to come taste some chili with us, I'm sure there's going to be too much for the four of us to
we'll
eat.
We'll be here, yeah.
I made a good chili.
Come have a beer and a chili.
I made a good chili with a 2017 Deep Search for Christmas.
Nice.
Very cool.
Well, yeah. What do you know about other events in the tap room?
Yeah, we'll run through them real quick. The holidays are behind us, but that doesn't mean the fun has to stop. You like
I'm
that?
Having fun right now good. With
fun
this quadra hopping.
You're right.
Next Monday, so the 7th, our annual Winter Euchre League kicks off. If you are familiar with that, you already know the drill. But if you're not, head to landgrantbrewing.com/euchre for all the details on that. But get on the list and come down and play some euchre with us.
We have had a huge response, and we only have so many tables. Those of you that did play most of last year will be grandfathered in for a seat, just like every year. And we will have a waiting list that we'll fill. The most important thing is being in the building, having your hands here to fill with cards.
Got to be
and
here.
A beer and a slice of pie.
Yeah. Players of all skill important. Levels. We've had beginners that ended up throughout the season. First time ever playing euchre, one of the years they ended up winning the league. So, looking forward to seeing everyone
once
back
again,
here Monday nights.
Once again, sponsored by Yellow Brick. So,
yeah, good friends of Yellow Brick Pizza.
Got that order in today.
How about the next night? How about Tuesday nights? What do we got going
Tuesday night. We are launching on January 8th, so that'd be the day after Monday. We're hosting our first public sort of trivia thing. Our good friend Travis Hobisher and his wife invented this really fun and unique movie trivia game that they called This Is a Movie. And it's like no trivia I've ever done. It's a little different and fun and really makes you think about movies. If you know a lot about movies, you'll be really good at it. If you don't know a lot about movies, I bet your friends are pretty good at it, and you can chip in as well.
Yeah, we played a couple weeks ago. A lot of fun. Yeah. We tried it out, so I look forward to playing that again at the tap room.
Yeah, it was
so
fun.
We're going to play that on Tuesday, and then that's going to become a weekly Tuesday event in February. We've got some other events on Tuesdays in January, so we're going to hold off on making it weekly until February, but we're going to try it out on Tuesday, January 8th. So come join us. And then, man, this is a busy week next week. January 9th, Liz Cooper and the Stampede, who recently opened for Phosphorescent here in town. So big time musical act is playing here, thanks to our friends at
BMI.
And it's all part of the Ohio Craft Brewers Association conference, which is going on here in Columbus next week.
Man, on us already.
Some education.
Yeah. Snuck up on me. This whole new year, the holidays really threw me for a loop. I'm going to throw out another event that we haven't announced yet, but I want you to save the date because it's going to be a cool one. Tuesday, January 29th, you're going to want to be here for the Ohio State-Michigan basketball game. That's all I can say about that today.
Because I'll be here.
Yeah, Adam will be here. Come see Adam. He'll wear his casual tux.
I wore my Mark Price jersey.
Yeah,
but no, it's good. It's gonna be a really cool thing, especially if you follow Ohio State basketball. But we'll be announcing that Monday, so I can't say too much about it now. But if you check back to the Land Grant social media stuff on Monday, you'll see all about it.
Cool.
Sweet.
Fun times. It doesn't stop with the holidays, the fun times here at
Land Grant. Stops.
It never stops.
Fun never stops.
Fun never stops. How are these quadra hopics going down? Pretty easy. This side of the table.
Four hops at a time, man.
All right, what do you think about this beer, Chris?
I love this beer. A little inspiration behind this beer was this is Dan Schaefer's recipe, and he gathered inspiration from traditional West Coast IPAs, Sculpin and Palate Wrecker. But, you know, you don't have to scrape your tongue after this one. This one, we dialed back the IBUs. I think I just read Palate Wrecker was 147. Yeah.
Sure. That's plenty.
Jesus.
Yeah, ours is 37. So you're not, like I said, you're not going to scrape your tongue after this one. But it's 6.7% alcohol and 37 IBUs. The hops we use this year are Columbus, Tomahawk Zeus, also known as CTZ.
It's one hop. Three names.
Four names.
There you go. Four names.
There you go. One hop. Simcoe, Amarillo, and Chinook. The main flavor and aroma you're getting this are from the Simcoe and the Amarillo. Ton of grapefruit. We've never really done a very, very grapefruit forward IPA before, so we thought, hell, might as well.
Good
so
we did. With.
And so that's pretty much most of what you're getting: grapefruit, some citrus. I'd get some general fruitiness, but yeah, it's dry and really clean.
So I think Mark mentioned earlier too the idea behind this beer, and when we first did it, we did the same iteration twice and then decided that we wanted to we'll love the design that Walt put together, and we felt the name really it led to turning this into a series and kind of choose four different hops that we may have used in the past or maybe they're new combinations, and really showcasing that through a rotating IPA. We're really excited about this beer. This is kind of our first foray into a rotating series. We've done a bunch of different double IPAs and a handful of different IPAs, but to try to keep this consistent, to you know, keep looking for that quadra hopic throughout the year. This is one of our biggest launches, I'd say, since we started the brewery in the past 4 years. So we're super excited about it to have this now available year round as another delicious IPA someone can turn to.
The brewers like the opportunity it provides us. Whenever you have limitations, or you know, we have to have four hops in this beer, it's quadra hopic. That always, when you have limitations, it always brings out a little more creativity.
Yeah, I think it also, I mean, we all love Stiff Arm, and we talked about it in the Stiff Arm episode. That beer has changed a lot over the years, but it, for the most part, we're always brewing. You're always having to brew Stiff Arm. You're brewing the same recipe. This allows the brew team to still flex some creativity muscles within the confines of a single beer.
Pumped and jazzed, I am, Walt. What about you, brother?
Oh, I'm really excited about this whole brand and line. I'm really pleased with how it's turned out, and you know, it's fun to design stuff on the computer and mock it up and render it and whatever. But to see it come off the line is pretty cool. And these are going to be some slick looking cans that I'm. You know, I'm, I guess, tooting my own horn here, but I really like the way that this turned out.
It's really cool, too. I think that it's kind of a departure from the standard alignment on a can from design. Like, mm-hmm. It stands out. It's really a different item.
Yeah, and that's, we kind of wanted to do that with the Quadra Hopic line as well as Concentrate that's coming out next month. And we've done it a little bit with sort of our barrel age stuff. Just to sort of differentiate it a little bit more from our core stuff and our seasonals and just to, I don't know, make it a little special, make it a little fun. Breaking the rules every now and then is okay. While it's different, it still lives within the realm of what makes a Land Grant beer look like a Land Grant beer.
I like the design of the like kind of spirograph looking detail around the hops. This I'm not a tattoo guy, but this might be my first tattoo.
Oh, right, my.
There you go. Wow. You go get wild. That like a tribal tattoo on your bicep.
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
The other thing that I think exciting about this beer. When we've done other IPAs in the past, we're usually just brewing one batch of it. So it's gone, and you might really like it. And you might have to wait a couple months to get it again. Making sure that we have this beer for the next 2.5 months is it's going to be a fun challenge for the brew team, but also exciting as someone who is almost out of home, the IPL, who I drank so much of that over the holidays. That that beer was great, but a lot of our beers don't end up lasting, and this is kind of a different strategy for us that hopefully you, the consumer, listening to the podcast, is going to be able to find this beer, at least the winter version of it, for the next couple of months.
Well, and as Adam said, you know, Stiff Arm has changed so much over the years. That's because we are constantly tweaking it and making it better. Having this beer for a whole season, it does give us a chance to tweak this beer just a touch throughout the 3 months that it's out, and you know, get it just the way we wanted to. So that's exciting as well.
Yeah, so for this series, you'll look for, I think we posted it online a couple weeks ago, but we have the different designs that will be coming out. This will be rotating January, April, I'm going to say July.
Yes.
And
then you would think it would be easy to just... Yeah,
and then October. And as Walt mentioned, we have another seasonal, quarterly, more hazy, juicy IPA that'll launch the month after, so February, and then you do the math, what, 3+ February, et cetera, is.
Yeah, February, May.
August.
Got to collect them all.
November?
Something like that.
October? I think
October. It'll be October.
It's impossible to say.
Nope, November.
No, for sure.
November.
But what I kind of see right here, looking at everyone's glasses, we've been literally talking for about 20 minutes, and I think we need another can of this, because I think there's one question you might need to ask yourself, Walt.
Oh, what's that question?
How crushable is it?
I've got to tell you, this is a crusher.
Super crushable.
It's too crushable.
I'd say this is a very crushable beer. And it's 6.7%.
Yeah.
It's
it's not a light beer.
You shouldn't have a lot of them in one setting, but I've got to tell you,
I should do a redaction on my 6 crusher for home, by the way.
Oh, did you try it? Do you have a...
It's more like a 4 or 5, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get excited, Walt. I mean, a beer just tastes so good.
Hey, when you're tasting it for the first time, everything seems like a 6 crusher.
Yeah, I was home during the game yesterday.
I abstained yesterday from... It's been a long holiday.
It's probably smart. I switched to tea at the end of the game. I was making a bunch of tea.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, Lauren bought me my own tea. That was her anniversary present. Bought me a tea mug. Porcelain is the...
Congratulations.
9-year. No, pottery. She made it.
Oh, she made it herself?
Yeah, she's very handy like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, Walt, speaking of crushability, this one is a crusher.
Oh, wow.
I got to open another one now.
Hollywood magic there.
Man, I got to tell you, it's... I opened one today at lunch to jot down some tasting notes, and lo and behold, I'd finished a beer. So, quick. More crushable than it should be.
It's 6.7, so I'm going to go with a 4 on it. It's pretty, flavor wise, it's very crushable, but for.
Be careful.
I'll go 4.
Yeah,
I think 4 is a good number for this one.
What about you, Chris?
I would agree. Crush responsibly.
Crush responsibly, and this is a unanimous 4.
That's a 4. We didn't have to do any math.
No questions asked.
No math. Yeah.
Easy peasy. Man, it's just so... The finish is... It just takes you right back to the glass, too. It's like nothing's cloying. It dissipates quick. It's very nice.
So
it's like a lot of flavor, and then it's gone, and you're ready for another drink.
Yeah.
So if you were here down here at 424 West Town Street from Thursday through Sunday, we already know what kind of taco and chili you'd have with this. But what would you get from old Ray Ray's Hog Pit?
I'm coming on Sunday, and I'm getting wings.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. I'm going to have to second that. Their wings, I love them.
Wings and Quadrahopic.
I'm going to join in with the wings. I was digging their greens last week a bit.
I mean, I think any of the sauces would be good, but I mean, that stiff arm buffalo sauce it makes really good. I'd go wings.
Wings with a side of greens.
Spicy wings go great with IPA, and this is a nice,
clean, easy drinking IPA. So I think that'd be a great combo.
Oh yeah.
So we do have at least one question from a listener, but we did have another question that I want to give a shout out to one of our fans down who's not local, so can't really buy this beer. This is Rodney down in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. He sent in a couple things. He's big on making soups in his Instant Pot.
Yeah.
And so he was asking, he's got a great split pea soup recipe. Is there any of our beers that he would pair with that? Chris, you know anything about split pea soup? Any of our beers you'd throw with a...
Rodney's real fired up down there in Tennessee about his split pea soup.
I'm not a huge fan of split pea soup. Have had multiple iterations of it.
You could throw away the soup and just have a crushability test. It's an option.
I mean,
all right.
I'm not sure I follow.
You go. Well, he doesn't like split pea soup. He doesn't have to eat it.
He's throwing this out to Rodney. He's talking to Rodney.
So if you're Rodney, thinking if you're a Rodney.
I'd probably go with something a little lighter, but we want some flavor behind it. The alcohol is going to... Ooh, I like this. The alcohol is going to burn off. So I would say it's a toss-up between smelling... Which I think will add some complexity to the split pea soup, or groomer, which I don't know if they would stay, but those I think those candy like flavors from groomer would go pretty well.
Peas are green. Groomer's can is pretty green. Greenskeeper too. I mean,
I was gonna go with Franklin's and Pale Ale. I thought that'd be really good with split pea soup.
Yeah,
or the mutter.
I gotta say, I have never had split pea soup in my whole life.
Well,
so I have no idea.
Well, Rodney, if you can send in that recipe for the Instant Pot, we'll have Walt. We'll be able to make that and give us a review on maybe the next episode.
Yeah. Maybe I'll make it for the chili cook-off.
You've got an Instant Pot, don't you?
Oh, you know I do. I got it for Christmas last year, and I love it.
It's true.
So, all right, Rodney, next time you are in town, we will we'll have to get you some of that either smelling or groomer. Potentially some Franklinton Pub Ale to enjoy with your famous split pea soup recipe.
What's Rodney's last name?
So, Rodney, if you stop by the tap room and show us identification, we'll get you that free Land-Grant University t-shirt.
All right, but we did have another question this week, too.
Oh, we got a double. We got a bonus this week.
From, I believe, our favorite vegetarian.
This is the podcast favorite vegetarian right here.
Is it Hans?
It is Hans.
Oh, what's Hans curious about?
Oh, Hans Gorsuch asks, which has a bigger impact, quality of ingredients or quality of brewing process?
I think the answer is label design.
There you go.
There it is.
You heard
there
it.
You heard it here first.
I'm just kidding. That's a joke. It's not.
I have my opinion on this. Chris, what do you got?
I would say quality of ingredients get you most of the way. But you can ruin those ingredients.
I'm going to throw a third thing in before you get too far. Quality of equipment. Go. Three.
Oh. So, okay. Quality of ingredients, quality of brewing, and Adam's addition to quality of equipment. So, you can have the best process in the world. If your equipment can't do it, it doesn't matter. If you want to do X on your equipment and it can't do it, then you need new equipment. Luckily, we've got some pretty good equipment here. We don't necessarily have that problem.
We don't have this issue.
But as far as quality of ingredients and process, you can ruin good ingredients with a bad process. But if you don't start out with good ingredients, you really don't have much hope. So I would say quality of ingredients is more important than brewing process, but you have to get to a certain level of brewing process before it even matters.
Quality of ingredients is kind of the non-starter, it sounds like.
Yeah.
If you start with bad ingredients, you're just not going to have good beer. You can't do anything to make that into a good beer.
You're polishing a turd at that point.
Yeah. So it's sort of the Papa John's theory.
There you go.
Better ingredients, better pizza.
Papa John's.
Yeah, it doesn't really apply to them, apparently, but not a sponsor, of course.
Obviously.
Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think to the equipment thing, there are a lot of folks that even going back to the homebrewing days, you can always buy that extra thing that maybe makes your life easier, but that doesn't necessarily make your beer better.
You can make very good beer on very rudimentary equipment.
Yeah.
I will say where the equipment matters most is repeatability. So you can make a ton of great beer as a home brewer. And I've had some really great beers that are home brewed. But when it comes to repeatability, that's where most home brewers lack, me included. And I had a pretty sophisticated system back when I home brewed and didn't do it for a living. But reproducing those beers is very hard. And that's where having quality equipment really helps out. And, you know, we experience this here being a production brewery. We, you know, when you grab a stiff arm, you want it to taste like stiff arm. You don't want to notice a difference. And so that repeatability is probably the most important aspect of your equipment.
Yeah, that's a good point.
For all of the talk that everyone wants something new, that's really not everyone. You know, people want to know that I really like that beer. I know I can still drink that same beer. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Temperature control is huge on good equipment. Like, that's one thing that is a huge variable both in the mash process and fermentation. That if you can't replicate that, you could have wildly different results.
Oh yeah, when we did our LGU of yeast, we kind of went over all the things you could do with just a simple 2-degree change in temperature. I mean, our Kolsch, the main temperature it ferments at is 66, and I believe, and then Lawn Raker's 62. Same yeast, but you get some wildly different flavors out of there. Lawn Raker's a lot cleaner than the Kolsch is as far as the flavor you get from the yeast. So, you know, temperature control in fermentation is huge.
Thanks, Hans, for the question. Come down and get a t-shirt.
Yeah. Show your identification.
Show your identification. I think that should be fairly easy. He's recognizable.
Yeah.
Just his face is probably enough.
He's been walking with a cheese pizza.
Yeah, that's Sailor Hans, by the way. He got like a class 4 certification in sailing in the last couple weeks. So he had to plot his course without any electronic instruments.
Wow. Maybe we should introduce him to our friend John Blakely in the Corsica.
You know, I think the level of sailing between actually...
I think John just likes to be on the boat.
That's really all I want, too. Yeah. I don't want to be responsible. I don't know how
I love sailing. It's fun.
I don't know how the sails work. Like, it's an enigma to me.
You gotta get that jib out. Get the mainsail up.
Jib.
Walt, you know about wind.
I don't know if I like the cut of your jib.
Oh, I can see that.
I take that as a compliment. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, this is going to be available, Quadrahopic, next week in all retail stores that you're used to seeing Landgrand beer. And
Friday here.
Friday here in the tap room. Big launch. And we will be... I'm going to be ready to crush one more with somebody. So come down and see us Friday.
Yeah.
Have a Quadrahopic.
Ring in the new year.
Yeah, if your New Year's resolution is to drink more Landgrand beer, this is the perfect time for you.
Great time to start.
I think that should be everyone's New Year's resolution.
We got some...
or just beer in general. Come enjoy craft beer with us. Have some Ray Rays.
But, hey.
Next week's Beers with the Brewers is Deep Search Baltic Porter. And with that will be this chili cook-off that we talked about earlier. So, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
You got any ideas, Adam, what you're going to cook up?
Well, I'll probably cook up a chili.
Yeah,
I don't want to give any other hints.
Great idea.
Can't give away any of your intel.
It'll be a delicious chili.
Will that be an instant pot chili?
Obviously. No other kind at this point.
Yeah. I disagree.
The reason Mark says instant pot that way is because I corrected him once because he kept calling it the Instapot.
I think it would be jazzier if it was called an Instapot.
It's the greatest regret of my life.
Yeah.
Walt's had a pretty good life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. Hey, Happy New Year. Welcome to the future. It's 2019.
Yeah.
Don't forget to write that number, 2019. Get away from that 2018 when you're writing down the year.
For all those checks everyone writes.
For all those checks. Yeah, hey, you know, also keyboard clicks. You know, it's easy to hit that 8.
Mark,
break the habit.
Would people be in the past if they're listening to this, since we recorded this on a Wednesday, and they'd be listening to it in the future?
I don't want to jeopardize the space-time continuum
surface.
Yeah.
I thought time
it's all
a
state of mind, man.
Time is a flat circle. Whatever, man.
If you're familiar,
moments happen clockwise.
If you're familiar with The Good Place in the afterlife, it goes in the way of Jeremy Baramy.
I don't even know what that means.
There you go.
Wow, we got to research that.
Actually, started watching the Good Place on Netflix.
It's a good show.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, I do know what that is.
Time is a flat circle.
Jeremy Baramy. Yeah,
that's from. I know what that is. True Detective season one.
What's the actor that's in that?
Ted Danson.
Bell. Ted Danson. Kristen Bell.
Yeah, you kind of look like a bad version of Ted Danson.
Yeah, I like Kristen Bell too.
Okay.
We're out.
All right, hey, tip your bartenders.
Hey, everyone, thanks.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Be safe out there. Go Browns.
Doing a commercial.
I've been really hitting the Nintendo Switch.
Do you have a Switch?
Yeah, Santa brought it to us for Christmas.
You get?
Mario Party.
Oh, you get Mario Kart yet?
Not yet. They don't have a new one yet. It's still the 8.
Oh yeah,
which is for
the LG, the Wii U.
Wii U, yeah.
Yeah. Now my little nephew got it. I was playing a little bit of Mario Kart with him the other day.
I do love the Switch, though. It's I'm glad somebody finally did the handheld, also big screen.
Yeah.
Like, why nobody did that earlier, I don't know.
Walt, did those print? What? Did those print?
What am I looking for here?
But this is why I hate buying new gaming systems, because they're $60 for a new game. It's like, Jesus, crazy. I'm not paying $60.
That's a lot.
It's the nice thing about PC gaming.
All I need is an emulator and Super Mario World, the 3 or whatever it is.
Super Mario 3. Yeah.
Super
yeah.
Mario Brothers 3.
Super Mario Bros. 3.
Bros. 3. Not yeah, World. That's all I need.
Yeah, that's a good game.
That's the best game in the world.
It's a good game.
A side scroller.
Did you know that Super Mario Bros. 2 was not supposed to be Super Mario Bros. 2?
Yes.
That's why it's a shithole of a game.
You know what? I really got into it. At first I hated it, but I think I like it.
Yeah, because they just took a game they had in Japan and then put the Mario characters into it.
Yeah.
And
Mario 2?
Didn't change anything else. Yeah.
It worked for me. I liked it. I kind of like the hover thing that, you know, like
Luigi. Peach hovered or Luigi kicked.
Had his weird legs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mario,
Toad
I guess.
Was
he...
the worst character. Couldn't jump high.
The whole throwing the egg at the, what was that bird that, like, you had to throw
it? Bird
you had to jump.
Like
you had to jump and catch the egg and then.
Yeah. And throw it back at him. I loved it. And at first, though, I hated it, but I loved it after that.
It's an okay game, but it's not Mario.
Yeah, it felt so different, but I don't know. I enjoyed the game.
It was also side-scrolling. There we go. There's where they were the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who remembers all the codes for Contra? Anybody?
I don't, but I remember the code for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game.
Oh, I had that, yeah.
B-A, B-A, left, right, B-A, up, down, B-A, left, right, start.
Yeah. I think that's just the Konami code for all Konami games.
Yeah, I think they all have the same one.
They also had Doom 2, if you played Doom 2 on the PC.
Oh, yes.
IDDQD.
Do video games God still have mode, cheat codes?
IDKFA, I think, was for all the weapons.
Yeah. Well, they had I like that they had Game Genie. Like, that was like, here you go, buy this, you get everything.
You just get it all. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad deal. Sometimes, I don't know, it just ruins a game for me. Like, you play Grand Theft Auto, but the only thing I'll do is just put every weapon, every cheat, and then I just see how long I can get away with stuff.
Are you talking about the original Grand Theft Auto, the overhead view, or are you talking the third person?
No, I'm going San Andreas all the way.
Okay.
Get that gangster rap rolling in my car.
I will say San Andreas is my favorite.
Yeah.
That was before they got too complicated.